ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 We will read from the book Hari Bhakti Kalpalatika about remembrance of Krishna. There are some very nice verses here which I would like to read to you. Now, one thing which we need to understand as devotees, or what we need to feel as devotees, is that Krishna cares for us. Very often a devotee feels in this world a little bit, alone. He has given up his shelters in the world, and he needs to have practical proofs that Krishna cares for him. Now, Srila Ramanuja Acharya, he described six particular qualities of Krishna, which he called the six opulences of the Lord. So usually when we think of the opulences of the Lord, we have a list of Parashara Muni, that he is most beautiful, most powerful, the richest, and several other such qualities. But Ramanujacharya, he says the first quality a devotee in this world thinks about is that Krishna is very compassionate. It is even said that Krishna is trembling with compassion. Shaking, trembling with compassion. He wants his devotees very much to become enlightened in Krishna consciousness, and therefore when he sees that someone is wants to endeavor in Krishna consciousness, he comes in the heart and gives his devotee enlightenment from in the heart. The next quality of Krishna is that he is gracious. Not only gracious, but condescending. Condescending means Krishna comes down on our level. He's not afraid to be with us. He comes there as a deity, as a holy name. He comes down to be with us. The next quality of Krishna is that he has motherly love for his devotees. Krishna is called the father of the living entities. Aham Bija Pradhapita. He is the seed-giving father. And material nature is normally called the mother. But Ramanuja says that Krishna's love has this motherly quality. Why? Because the mother likes the boy more than the father, usually. It is, for instance, the love of the mother which transforms her blood into milk, which the little child drinks. This is how much love she has. If the mother has no love for her child, she cannot give milk. I have very often seen this with mothers who did not really want their child in Germany. We have some Maya Devis, I think we must also have them in Serbia. And they sometimes get a child, but they really don't know. And they go to the doctor, and the doctor tells them, oh, we cannot make an abortion. Oh, really? No, doctor, I give you 1,500 marks. No, it's not possible. You would die when we have an abortion. Oh, these Maya Devis who have children like this, they have no lubav for the child. Therefore, they cannot give milk to the child. It is not possible. They have some other process has to be there. Typically, it does not work. The voice control, it always stops in the midst of a sentence and then one becomes irritated. You have to take the voice control and then voice control.
It's automatic.
Yeah, the voice control. Yeah.
Off.
Yeah. You have not noticed this. It means you have never listened to a lecture with voice control. Just put the tape on again. No? So this motherly love is superior. Then Krishna's next quality is he's generous. That means he's very open-hearted to the devotees. Even if the devotee is not super duper, like many times we are not very elevated. Krishna is generous, and his most his incarnation that he shows us is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not really look if someone is qualified or not qualified. But Krishna also is very generous, especially, we studied this yesterday, especially when he sees that someone takes shelter at Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. He says, Lord Madhava blossoms with joy whenever he hears the syllable Ra. When he simply hears the syllable da, he eagerly runs after that person to reward him. he likes Srimati Radharani so much that someone who says the name of Radha, Krishna runs after him and gives him bhakti. Very generous. That's why especially he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna runs behind the living entity as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gives Krishna consciousness very easy. In other words, he's generous. The fifth quality is he has a concern for the living entity's welfare. I think we as devotees cannot imagine how Krishna is there for so many devotees. How he does it. One time we were in the London temple and we were many hours before the deity, and in these many hours we saw so many devotees. There was Maria from Serbia praying for a good moosh most properly. There was the Indian Matriki who prayed to know the cooking recipe. There were Sankirtan devotees who wanted to distribute many books. And Lord Chaitanya hears all this, and Lord Krishna hears all this, and he has concern for everyone's welfare, simultaneously, for everyone. And then The last quality which we have heard is, which Ramanuja says, he is full of tender affection. Something like motherly care, but tender affection. Very good heart, a tender heart. Tender means soft heart, soft heart. Krishna becomes very pleased by the devotee's endeavor, and his heart melts. Many times the devotees say, I can't believe that Krishna's heart melts, because I'm now so long in Krishna consciousness. Until now it seems it has not melted for me. I'm still without Krishna consciousness. But there is this one quality about Krishna, that he is actually the personification of love. And he wishes to help the devotees to come to higher and higher states of love. For instance, when the gopis felt proud to be with Krishna, they did feel to be the most fortunate persons in the universe, and then Krishna disappeared from them, so that they would miss him, and in this way their love would increase. Later, later Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura and then to Dwarka, and he did this really to increase the love of the devotees, the gopis, because when you love Krishna, then Krishna is there. You don't need Krishna, but I said you need love of Krishna. Then Krishna is there. Even if Krishna is there and you have no love for Krishna, you have no connection with him. Even if he's standing before your eyes like when he appeared. Krishna is the personification of love. He's the God of love. You can only know him by love, not in any other way. So Krishna, therefore, sometimes keeps himself a little distant from the devotees, so that they don't become proud or covered, but that the love reaches newer and newer heights. I want to now read to you a few verses about how you can actually remember Krishna. Because if you can remember Krishna throughout the day, very good. It is said that at the beginning our remembrance of Krishna will be like a spring of water which trickles very softly. It is even interrupted. It flows for some time and then it again stops and then it continues to flow. So after some time it is said that the water will become so much flowing that it it's uninterrupted. So in the same way, the memory of Krishna in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, it's always interrupted by forgetfulness. You think maybe 32,000 thoughts which you think a day, maybe 2 thoughts are Krishna in the day. But then after some time, if you practice this art of remembrance, all of the thoughts become connected with Krishna, and then you can go back to Godhead. This is what our work, to get Krishna in our 32,000 thoughts a day, as much as possible. We have a good challenge before us. it's something to work on. And so here it is said, continuous remembrance of the form of Lord Vishnu, who is the ocean of transcendental bliss, that is called smarana. Continuous means without stoppage. Hare Krishna, you guys for that. What?
I have to hear something.
Oh, yeah. Hare Krishna. Now, you might think, how will it be possible? of what should I think concretely when I want to remember Krishna? Isn't it? Should I think now of this Leela? Should I think of Vrindavan? Or a deity picture? Or how can I get Krishna in my thoughts? This is answered in the next verse. The learned have ascertained means they have found out, that Smaranam is remembering the form of Sri Hari. This is how you start. You remember the form of Krishna. When you, for instance, look at the deities, you should absorb the thought, your mind in the deities. It's a certain technique. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur speaks about this technique. He says, first, when you really wish to see the deities, you should not just see the external form, the lines, so to say, 10 centimeters down, 5 centimeters up for the head, and so on. But you must think with affection of Gonitai or of Krishna. This is very important. Only if you have a loving thought of Krishna, then when you see the deity, it is real darshan. In other words, first the spiritual form is in your heart. You must meditate about the spiritual form of Krishna, as you have heard from Shastra. And then you see the form, and that you mix with your the bhava form, the form in your heart. And that is real darshan. See, otherwise, you could say, that what is the difference between seeing a nicely decorated deity and a nicely decorated boy or a nicely decorated girl? Do you follow? Therefore, you must think first of Krishna, have the spiritual form of Krishna in your mind, and then see the form of Krishna in your with the eyes. And then if you mix the two, then it is real darshan. Then you see Krishna, then you see the deity. This is a very interesting detail which you might like to apply in your meditation about Krishna. Then you should remember the this is perfect mantra, refers to the Gopal mantra, that is the mantra which you obtain from your spiritual master. That this mantra focuses your meditation on Krishna, because it's a very particular forms of Krishna are described. You will hear Krishna, you will meditate on Govinda, and finally you will meditate upon Gopijana Vallabha. That's Krishna who is embraced by the gopis. And then you must remember his holy names. These are three things how you do your smaranam. You remember the form, you remember the perfect mantra to achieve his lotus feet, and you remember his holy names. Within the blissful hearts of the most fortunate persons, the son of Sri Nanda has made his residence. Krishna lives in the blissful hearts of the devotees. Such persons do not run after sinful activities. No interest. Their hearts are automatically purified without the help of yoga or jnana. All their sinful activities and material desires are automatically destroyed. This is because they have a temple in their heart where Lord Krishna resides. I don't know if you sometimes do this, invite Krishna in the heart. Very nice to do. It is not forbidden, but it is designed for a devotee. Then it continues. Those whose hearts are absorbed in the blackish form of Sri Hari who is the ocean of nectarian bliss and who enjoys pastimes in Vrindavan, are never burned by the unbearable fire of material existence. Even the poisonous snake in the form of Kali cannot harm them at all. This is for those whose heart are absorbed in the blackish form of Sri Hari, who is the ocean of nectar bliss and who enjoys pastimes in Vrindavan. That's really the only possible way to escape the fire of material existence. If you think of Krishna, then you are out of misery. If the heart is empty and there is no form of Krishna, it's like fire of material existence will burn you. You will look black in the face from all that smoke. Soon we will go again to Belgrade and we will see the black faces who are, you know, from all this misery. It is very amazing to see the black faces of Belgrade. Even sometimes devotees, they don't have that form of the Lord in the heart, and then they also become black from all that smoke. Those exalted renunciants who always meditate upon the lotus feet of Sri Hari are never ever again drowned in the ocean of miserable material existence. The darkness of ignorance in their hearts is automatically vanquished by the moonrise in the form of knowledge of the Supreme Lord. They properly relish nectarian spiritual bliss, which is eternal and inexhaustible. It's really, do you see how these texts are really from a spiritual dimension? When we hear such texts, have sometimes problems because our minds can't grasp, what does it say? Something about nectar. When will he talk about psychology? This we can understand very easy because we have so many problems. When we hear about problematic things, we can understand. But see, when you hear Shastra, you must learn one little endeavor. You must stretch your imagination. Imagination is not the word. You must stretch your hearing so that it can make contact with the upper dimension. If we always have contact with the lower dimension, it is not so good. And also, many of our lectures in which we hear are sometimes too much on our platform. It's important to hear from another platform and to try to connect by one quality, rapt attention. Now, of course, you cannot have rapt attention if the mind is very impure. It just doesn't work. Like, I just can't listen. And the mind will always be impure if your activities are impure. Therefore, we must keep the four regulative principles also in the Grihastha Ashram alive and well. It's very important. So that the mind is pure, and then we can hear these pure things and get purified. So the darkness of ignorance, Hare Krishna Tamara, listen to this. The darkness of ignorance in the hearts of the devotees is automatically vanquished by the moonrise in the form of knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Now we will hear the process how to meditate on the Lord. This is what gets very high. I hope you are interested in this subject. I didn't know that we would come to this, but this is now Manasa Seva. First, one should meditate on Vrindavan, which is filled with intoxicated dancing peacocks. Wow! Yeah! Yeah! This is how we start. A flower surrounded by bees. You know that when you go down to the Yamuna from the Krishna Balaram temple, then you go here and there's the old river bank. Yes? And then you turn right in the old river bank. This is also the path where Krishna very often comes. He's very often on this path. People in Vrindavan know they stay there in the night to maybe see Krishna. The bridge paths are there. There are few paths in Vrindavan. For instance, near Radhakund, there is one path where very often Giriraj comes. Giriraj has a yellow turban. He's the personification of the mountain of Giri Govardhan. He has a white turban and a white dress. And if you stay there, sometimes you may see him. He comes in a visible form, which even sadhakas can see. That's what the Brijbasis say. I have never stayed there because I thought, well, I'm still so dirty in the heart, I should not disturb Giriraj. He goes to take darshan of Radhakund. So, but this is how the heart becomes purified. I'm very happy to find this in this book, in this authorized Vaishnava Granta. So you go, and then when you go on the right side, you see on the left side the flowers. Have you seen flower fields? Yes. It's surrounded by bees. Attractive roots. You have to. And various enchanting trees with newly grown buds. Buds means pupoinic on them. One should meditate upon the desire trees of Vrindavan, whose flowers are like beautiful pearls, whose leaves are like jewels, and whose fruits are like precious stones. These trees are actually very, very far out persons. They can dance. they can even move over the land of Vrindavan to go to places where Krishna is. They are conscious living entities. They are not rooted to the ground like these mountain trees which we know in this world. They can go, and sometimes for the pleasure of Krishna, they take on the form of shlagam. Yes, I am not speculating. This is from Vrindavan Mahimamrita. They become cream trees. It's really good. It is really not you, Mano Muni's. Yes, you have heard it properly. They take on different forms. They also take forms of fruit juice. See, you have to understand the whole substances in Vrindavan is pulsating chetana. Now, are you ready to meditate, to listen? At least we have to listen. One should meditate on a golden temple which is situated under those desire trees. It is decorated with beautiful canopies. Canopies means like these cloths. And built with golden foundations. It rests on pure gold. It has hundreds of jeweled pillars decorated with waving flags, and it is surrounded by enchanting flower garlands. Within the temple is a jeweled throne, and on top of that throne is a pink lotus flower consisting of 8 petals. Okay, so the jeweled throne, a pink lotus flower on top, and this has 8 petals. And then you go like this. One should meditate upon Sri Krishna seated on the throne. He attracts the minds of everyone and is the abode of all happiness. It is described, you should meditate about the happy smile of Lord Krishna, because then you lose all unhappiness if you meditate. His face is peaceful like the full moon. Wonderful. And his graceful form bends in three places. His handsome body is blackish like the new rain cloud and is illuminated with ornaments. Very blackish and then these bright ornaments. And the body is also pinkish at some places due to being smeared with pollen from the fully blossomed lotus flowers of the Yamuna. He is served by the gopis who are fanning him with the corners of their garments. Wonderful. Now we will hear a little bit about the lotus feet, because usually when you meditate, this was first the whole picture, and now, I don't know, normally it goes like this, that you start now with the feet and go up. So now we will focus the attention on his feet, decorated with ankle bells, clinking. His lotus feet are just like fully blossomed red lotus flowers and soft new buds. His beautiful toes are decorated with brightly shining moon-like toenails. Several auspicious signs, such as lotus, bali, the little seed, flag, and anchor, adorn his lotus feet. I know, for instance, that a devotee sometimes will meditate about the flesh on the lotus feet, and by intensely meditating about the sign of the flesh, what happens is that the mountain of sin is destroyed. It's like flesh will sometimes enter the mountain and crack the big pieces, big rocks. So from your heart, if you meditate like this, it happens. Or if you meditate about the, I know this, you know what is a mahout? Mahout is an elephant driver. They have this iron instrument, and then they scratch behind the ear where it's very soft on the elephant, and he gets a signal. And it goes right, or it will scratch here. There it will slip down. So it is described, if you really meditate about this instrument on the lotus feet of Krishna, your mind will become controlled, which is like the Ludi Sloan. Just like the lotus stone. His knees are fat. Wow, beautiful. Attractive and round. His thighs, this part, are just like banana trees. Very round, you know, banana trees are very round. He's dressed in yellow garments, and his waist is decorated with a golden belt. How beautiful he dresses. His chest is broad and decorated with three lines. His lines are actually golden in color. His lotus-like navel is decorated with rows of bees in the form of bodily hair. Beautiful. His smooth chest, which is smeared with sandalwood paste and kumkum, is decorated with stars in the form of pearls and with the sun in the form of the Kaustubha gem. His brightly shining hands are decorated with pink nails, and his arms are decorated with jewel bangles and bracelets. He wears a garland of fragrant forest flowers on his neck. This garland is made of wonderful flowers like kadamba, lotus, and the cotton tree. In other words, it must have white hairs in it. And also new buds, pupalnik, and leaves from the tulasi plant. Wow, so colorful. It's a very extraordinary garland. So much variety, huh? Kadamba flowers, lotus flowers, then in between hair from the cotton tree, and also new buds, and then leaves from the tulasi plant. Wow! This is a very good combination. While embracing his neck, this garland, full of devotion, reaches down to his lotus feet. That's very long, in other words. With a desire to drink its honey, the bumblebees are attracted to it. But actually the bumblebees, they sing Vedic mantras. They are not just disturbing. Not like this. Chintamani. A garland of gunja is beautifying his neck. Do you know the gunja? They are small berries like this, but very, very hard. When you let them fall on the table, it makes the dance on the table. They're very hard. And they are very beautiful red, a beautiful red. Very much like the dhoti of Gonita today. This is the very shiny red. And then it has a little part, gunja berry, a little part where it's shiny black. So he has a garland of these. And he likes these garlands of gunja berries more than jewels. Why? Because the jewels come usually from the ocean, which is away from Vrindavan, but these gunja berries are from Vrindavan, and he likes Vrindavan more. Therefore he will always prefer a necklace of gunja berries to all other decorations, because it's from his own Braj. A garland of gunja is beautifying his neck, and it appears that all the stars have assembled there with a desire to constantly serve his moon-like face. The stars are there, they're pearls. They're here, around here, and they give a light, which give a light to the moon-like face of Krishna. The nectarian smile on his copper-colored lips. Oh, copper-colored lips. Sound. Copper-colored lips. They're actually red like bimba fruits, but also them is a sign of copper in it, very aristocratic. The nectarian smile on his copper-colored lips is situated on his greatly effulgent face, and it appears that he is emitting his heart's ecstasy on the pretext of smiling. Aha, it's just a pretext. Pretext means a pretense. What comes out in the smile is the ecstasy of his heart. This is what the whole purpose of his smiling. His cheeks are illuminated by the effulgence of his golden earrings, which are bedecked with jewels. His eyes are like white blooming lotus flowers, and his eyebrows are decorated with crooked glances. On the tip of his beautiful raised nose is situated a bright pearl. I actually heard also sometimes the pearl has the form of an elephant. No, it's an elephant pearl. Elephant pearl means it comes from the head of an elephant, and it is hanging here under the nose. When Krishna breathes, it moves very beautifully. Provided he breathes through the nose. If he breathes through the mouth, then it does not move. On the tip of his beautifully raised nose is situated a bright pearl. And now listen, Krishna is a cowherd boy. He really believes in cows. On his forehead is the mark of tilak mixed with musk and cow urine. It smells, in other words, like musk, and there is also cow urine in it. Very good. He wears a shining jeweled crown on his head. A jeweled crown. His head is decorated with soft curly hairs, and he wears a peacock feather on his crown. Standing in a bending posture, he is happily manipulating his fingers on the holes of his flute and filling the flute with nectar from his lips. Okay, well, this is how much we will hear today. Then tomorrow we will continue, because if we hear too much, we might faint. Okay, so this is this Krishna, although he is so much, he's the Lord of the transcendental world, he's interested in us. Can you imagine this? Who are so poor. He's interested in us. And it is, and he, when we are his devotees, Krishna follows from behind, just like a mother fish which follows the little ziplings, it's called in English, the little fishes. They go in the water, and behind it is the mother fish and takes care that no big problems come. Devotees sometimes are like foolish little fish who forget that Krishna is there. But Krishna is coming behind them and correcting their ways. You know, when the fish is a little tupko and it goes in one direction, then all of this which is not good, let us say it goes to the coral cliff where these dangerous animals, this is the example. Do you know these animals? They look like moraine. Yes, they are moraine. How do we say it? Moruna. The moruna. and the Maruna is there, they like to eat little fish. They have very poisonous teeth, the Maruna. So when sometimes the devotees does something where they go into difficult situation, all of a sudden Krishna is there and pings the devotees on the head so that he goes in the right course, right way again. Have you had experience of this? Too many experiences. Very often we don't feel it when the bang comes because we are so tupko. But and Krishna has to beat harder. Bang, bang. Oops, boy, something is happening in my life. I'm always banging against the same wall. Maybe I should change something in my life. This is how Krishna cares for us. Can you imagine this? He's in the transcendental world, but he still has a heart for us here in this world. It's very good. And he makes many arrangements that we can come back. The greatest arrangement which Krishna has made for us is that he came in the form of the holy name. But in this form, he remains hidden as long as we commit offenses in chanting. But when the devotee becomes very, very determined to try to avoid the offenses, he only tries. In the beginning he can only try because we are so covered. At that moment, it's called Nama Bas. Krishna begins to reveal himself in the horizon of the heart of the devotee, just like the sun which comes up in the morning. It becomes visible in the horizon. The devotee must try to avoid the offenses. It's called Namabhasa chanting. Well, Krishna may not be totally visible. His wonderful form may not be visible in the beginning when we chant the name like this. But we see already some light coming from Krishna's direction. Just like in the morning, when the sun has not yet risen, this is the example, the light is already visible. And so in the same way, when a devotee tries to chant without offenses, then the light is visible. That means he loses his suffering. In Sanskrit it's called kleshakni, and as a result of losing the suffering, simultaneously very auspicious symptoms start in the devotee. For instance, he can forgive. It's very auspicious when a devotee can forgive. This will happen if there is the Nama Bhasa chanting. That means you try to avoid the offenses, and as a result the light of the holy name is visible. A little while ago I read about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There was once a gentleman from Calcutta who came to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was chanting. He started to chant at 3 o'clock in the morning. This was his routine. And when he felt a little tired, he went outside in the fresh air where there was a cement chair. Do you know this Indian chair? They're made from cement. We had also Madhva Muni and Kishori, when you came to Dandabanga, there were these cement chairs. They're very cool, so that if you sit on them, your body becomes cool. So he had such a cement chair, and he was sitting in. And his neighbor, Guanpa, I Parvati Maharaj, he said he could hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the night calling for Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He was calling like this, as if he were calling, Iveshwara, Iveshwara, come, Doiji. So this is how Krishna called, how Bhaktivinoda Thakur called for Krishna. Wonderful, isn't it? And then this gentleman came and said to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, can you please tell us about Krishna now? The name of Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you want to know about Krishna's name? You're very fortunate. And then again he said, really, you want to know about Krishna's name? You're so fortunate. And then he wanted to speak about Krishna's name, but he couldn't, because he was in ecstasy. Krishna's name is so wonderful. Krishna's name is identical with Krishna. This is how he so man, I don't, so he only could say Krishna's name. Krishna's name is so wonderful. So he could not speak. But he wrote many things about Krishna's name. Okay, so Hare Krishna. This morning we were listening to a class for bhaktas, for devotees. would you like to, do you have any questions? He had said how to chant. Do you want to know how to chant? Good. You should chant like a mother who has lost the child. She always said, oh, mother, oh, where is the child? Where's the child? Where's the child? So absorbed. Can you imagine the mother who has lost the child? How very intense she will call out the name. Or, or like the chatak bird. The chatak bird never drinks any water from the ground. So one time in the year the clouds come. I mean, not maybe one time in the year. It's during that rainy season. And the chatak bird is now very thirsty. He has not drunken since winter, and now it's summer. And what will he say? The chatak bird will say, Jalde, Jalde, give me water, give me water. He will be very happy to chant like this. And he will be also very eager. Now he wants to have the water. Or you should chant like the Chakravaka. Chakravata. This is a special bird who always wants to be together with his ladybird. But there is a curse. It's amazing. It's really true. These birds, they cannot meet. For some reason, they cannot meet. They want to meet in the night, to be together, and you know, like birds of little family life, you know. but no, it's not possible. They for the whole night, the male bird calls for his wife, and the wife calls for the husband. Very eager, they want to meet, but it's not possible because there is a curse. I don't know. This is how the Vedic scriptures explain it. Maybe the biologists, you know, they are bird watchers. Do we have bird watchers in Serbia also? In England, every fifth gentleman is a bird watcher. They go into where the birds fly and they watch the habits of the birds. They hide there and they find great happiness to watch the birds. We have one, we have a family. A Krishna family who lives in a bird watching paradise. There were obviously these English gentlemen are behind every bush with their monoculars. They're all just, you know, and they have pants like your shirt, the same kind of, you know, they have, and they are sitting there and they had also a hat like this. And then they would maybe give some explanation, but the Vedic explanation is there was once a curse. They did some glupas and then. So in the same way, in other words, I think you can see an intense desire is necessary to change. These are pictures which help us to get the right idea. Mahari.
Yeah. And we try to really connect ourselves to the Holy Name. And the process of hearing is there, and mind, because it's inner sense. For me, it's always connected to some kind of meditation, and I observe like that. And then, while we are chanting, I know that there is some secret how to connect actually that sense of hearing and that inner sense, which is like
in the mind,
meditation. Because sometimes I really like I'm hearing, but my mind is giving different pictures and ideas and like this. So it's really some kind of
The connection is there.
Be there, because I often observe that separate.
Maharaj says that it's an experience, I think, which each one of us knows, and we chant, and we even hear the chanting, but the mind seems to not be connected, and the proof for this is that it goes elsewhere, and pictures are coming. And do you have also this experience? I think we all have made this experience. Is there a way to connect the two? Now it's surprising. Prabhupada has, to my knowledge, who can say he really knows what the completeness of what Prabhupada has said to this? But Prabhupada was often asked by his disciples about this, how to make the connection. He would say, just listen. He would not give a complicated answer, but he would just say, you need to listen. Now, obviously, to concentrate the mind, that he has said in the first canto that he has written about it, is only possible if the to listen with full attention is only possible if your mind is not so impure. See, if there are millions of things and problems and desires, whatever is in the mind of a conditioned soul going on, then you can't really listen. It's not possible. So for that, we must have a pure lifestyle. This is how Prabhupada has explained this. And then you can listen very carefully. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has in the book Nam Bhajan given another explanation how to connect it. He has said, when you chant, you should visualize the beautiful form of Krishna. This is the activity of the mind. Now, if you can't do this, you should sit before the deity of Lord Krishna, like Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, and so on, and chant. And while you chant, the name which you chant and the form will become one. Now, I don't know, many of us Hare Krishnas are totally against meditation because we are not, we have not thought about this before. But those who have thought deeply about meditation, there are also many devotees who have thought deeply about this. They know that this can become one. Krishna, it's difficult to explain how a sound can become one with a form, but this becomes possible in the world of the mind, where all of a sudden don't you sometimes know when you hear a very aggressive music, you see pictures were very aggressive form. The form and the sound is very much related to each other. Whereas when you hear soothing music, you see a sunset or something. It's for those who are a little active in the mind, a little imaginative, it comes. Or you see a form. Like, for instance, I know one raga, I call it the Yamuna curve. For me, this raga gives the impression of the Yamuna which goes around a corner. I cannot express it in another way. I have to use a form to express it. So this is the first thing. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you think about the qualities of Krishna, and the name becomes one with the qualities, and finally the leelas of Krishna. Now, when doing this, there is a danger, which is very much which Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in his books. It is the danger is called kalpana. Kalpana means you imagine something, and you really only produce mental pictures. Even Krishna's form becomes for you some mixture of the beautiful things of this world combined together in a form. So the devotees really want more, that there is a revelation of these things which come from the spiritual dimension. Prabhupada's whole approach to smaranam, this memory, is that it is preferable that a revelation comes to the forced practice of, for instance, the Babaji line, which is where you really, even in the sadhana practice, you try to picture things and enter that picture, even in a spiritual form which is given to you, and then you become a part, let me say, of a mental reality which is spiritualized by the descriptions which you have heard from authorized sources, particularly your guru. This is the process which they do, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has very strongly warned against our mental. This is just that you only, he says, in Prabhupada's language, you eat the bananas of your mind. He has very strong words for this. That means your mind is a monkey, and then he likes to eat the bananas of the mind. This we don't really wish to do. But it is desired, says Prabhupada, if you chant the holy names, that the Lord's form and the qualities and the pastimes will automatically appear. This is a desired state where this happens. This will happen if you hear a lot about Krishna, so that the impression that you hear Krishna, when you say Krishna, it connects automatically, and your mind gets these authorized descriptions which are somewhere in your memory bank out and connects. This is what why we stress so much at the stage we are, Shravanam and Kirtanam. We must hear a lot about Krishna, and then by Kirtanam we must wash out our mind pure stream of the Ganga, and so on. And then a mind who has heard and who is purified by Kirtan will definitely, when you hear the name, connect with Krishna. It will become automatically. I think some of you who have been in Vrindavan and have stayed in Vrindavan for some time and chanted, this is even a young sadhaka can feel this. He chants it sometimes. Whoops, he was thinking of Krishna. What has happened? What has happened is his mind is pure, and now he connects to what he has read and heard from authorized sources, and then it becomes one in this way. This is our desired process, our desired goal. Prabhupada writes in a letter, I have it actually, when Murari, when you can bring me my Samsonite case. I have the letter in my Samsonite case that he writes about this. I can read it to you. This comes on the platform of purification. It is very natural. Your mind cannot help. It is. Here I have a lecture. It's called From the Inside to the Outside. I will give it in the end of my stay in Serbia when I've prepared you, because it's a little advanced. Inside to the Outside. Some devotees say that we are not supposed to think of Krishna's pastimes when we chant. But that is not what Prabhupada said. Now comes the letter. I think you should know that it is not offensive to think of Krishna's pastimes while chanting. It is offensive to think of Krishna's pastimes. No. But rather it is required. Required means it's necessary. One must strive for the point where he simply hears Krishna, and immediately all of Krishna, his pastimes, his form, his quality, are in his thoughts of Krishna. One who cannot always think of Krishna, let him hear always Hare Krishna. And then when he has perfected this art, then always he will remember Krishna, his activities, his qualities, etc. Now Harinam Chintamani says, from the holy name gradually the Lord's form, qualities and pastimes blossom. Bhaktivinoda Thakur now who speaks. The entire panorama of Lord Krishna's pastimes is present in the holy name. This is an advanced stage in chanting. Nimbhaktivinoda Thakur says how you come to this stage where the whole panorama comes. He says, the introspective devotee, means he who goes inside, not the external person, the introspective devotee must at first give up the 10 offenses and simply meditate on the holy name, trying to chant constantly. He should distinctly pronounce the holy name and meditate upon the transcendental sound vibration. When his chanting is steady, clear and blissful, he should try to meditate on the Shyamasunda form of the Lord. In other words, here Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, you should make the effort to meditate. Prabhupada, following, see, because you must know in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was practicing the two processes, smaranam, meditation, and he was initiated by his guru Vipin Bihari in this practice. He would do that. It would go in his mind and so on and so forth. Have you read the book Hindu and Modernity? There is a list of all his identities of his spiritual life. He would go in this meditated form into the Leela of Krishna and be there. And Krishna would act with him. So, but this process, he was already very careful, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but his son Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he understood, looking at the Babaji scene, that it would not work in this. So Prabhupada, he talks all on revelation, whereas Bhaktivinoda still talks about this process. He should try to meditate on the Shyamasunda form of the Lord. With chanting beads in hand, his chanting and meditation should seek out the form of the holy name. What is your form? He will indeed see with spiritual vision what the real meaning represents. And then he recommended, if this is not possible, you should sit before the deity and see the form like this. And then you must reside in Braj. If you cannot go there, we should learn how to think of Vrindavan by reading books. This is now Sattvarup Maharaj is talking about this. He says we should read books and meditate on the impressions which we gathered when we went there, remembering the parikram sights and sounds and praying to the devotees of Vrindavan. That's what you have to do if you want to go to Krishna, because the Vrindavan mood empowers you in this certain way of Krishna consciousness, which is a Braj Bhakti. It's a certain type of Bhakti where God is worshipped not because he is the most powerful person, but because he's the most lovable person. This is a difference to all. This is very unique in the world of religion. And this is in Braj Bhakti. Therefore, the connection with the mood of Vrindavan, especially what does Vrindavan mean? It means the Brajavasis, like Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Sudam, Subal, Shridam, and so on. It's a whole, this Leelas in a certain mood which are extremely deep and extreme. Where a certain way of relationship to Krishna, which is the one of his associates, is demonstrated for us. Fallen souls. then this is how we want to relate to Krishna one day also. So we must have an example, a visible example. We learn by example. For instance, Gaja, what was it? Gaja Halava. We can learn from Kishori how to prepare it, how to put the elements at which state, and so on. So certain secrets are known to. The devotees hold the secrets how to worship Krishna, and I mean with the devotees now, I mean his parikas, the eternal associates, and that's why we need to hear about this, to follow in the wake or in the footprints or in the example of these devotees. Yeah. It's a very deep spiritual culture, and it involves a lot the internal sense. I think you can understand the mind is very important in this. There's an interesting advice by Prabhupada how you can learn to become a little bit more dubak, deeper in the mind. He said, realization means you should write, every one of you, what is your realization? You write your realization, what you have realized about Krishna. That is required. It is not passive. Always you should be active. Whenever you find time, write. Never mind 2 lines, 4 lines, but you write your realizations, Shravanam Kirtanam. Writing or offering prayers, glories, this is one of the functions of a Vaishnava. You are hearing, but you have to write also. Then writing becomes Smaranam, remembering what you have heard from your spiritual master. For preachers, I think this can be easily done if you sometimes write a letter to a person who is very near and dear to you or to whom you preach. And this makes you very deep when you write a letter, not just, hello, this morning we ate rice and dal, and in the afternoon we eat bread, and in the evening we ate sleep points, but something deep from your realizations. This is smaranam. Sorry, I have to now be I shall not talk about the whole lecture now, it's from the other lecture. So I will not talk more about this, because then you will not come to that other lecture. You have heard already everything. Murari Chaitanya.
Speaking about this, how to get a right darshan, so I was doing that before I heard now. So, but I want to see if it's really.
A bright right darshan. Right darshan, yes, okay, I understand. Yes.
Come to date, so for example, Vanitai, I was thinking of them like they are described in really Vanitai.
Yeah.
Always made somehow golden or like dressed, but I'm thinking of them like that. Or, for example, easier to understand Jagannath. When I see Jagannath, I'm connecting with Krishna, with the whole form of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's how Lord Chaitanya would view Lord Jagannath. He would see the Lord playing in the his flute in the forest. He would see like this. The whole point really is, we have been talking on several lectures, is to engage the mind in Krishna consciousness, not to just engage the external senses. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would always say, how can you see with your eyes Krishna? How will you do this? How will the eyes see Krishna? And therefore he said, it's more important that Krishna sees you. and if he wants to reveal himself, he can reveal himself. So we know how we can see Krishna through the eyes of knowledge. Or we can see Krishna through the ears. There's a verse like this in the Bhagavatam. When you hear about Krishna, this is the best way to perceive the Lord. Okay, so we. Anyone else?
This morning
you
speak about
the
art of remembering Krishna.
Yeah, pardon me.
How we can make this, how we can apply this in our life to be very intense?
How? Well, you can make a photocopy of these verses and read them from time to time. Prabhupada, he used to, has encouraged his devotees to, it was in Geneva where he gave a lecture where he spoke about this, building a throne in a diamond throne in the heart and inviting Krishna to come. So this is a little bit more detailed, so to say, with more authorized descriptions how this could be done. I was very happy to read this because it is from a book which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has printed again and again and again and again. In other words, it's a very authorized book which is keep having authorized information. It's so important when you are interested in Krishna consciousness and you want to move further forward. Trying to find this. Yes, it's. Yes, thank you. It's so important that you move in the authorized way. 60 years ago at Sri Purushottam Chetra, this is Jagannath Puri, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur received an original copy of Sri Hari Bhakti Kalpalatika. In spite of intense research, I could not find out who composed it. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. After some time, I saw a renounced Ramanandi Vaishnava with a copy of the book. 25 years later, I published the original text in the magazine called Sangini. Now I am publishing it with Bengali translation. Although the book was written to glorify unalloyed devotional service, by seeing the prominence of knowledge contained in it, I think that a follower of Shuddhadvaita philosophy composed it. And he liked it so much. And he also said, this has Vrindavan Bhakti in it, this book. So, I think it's very good. He would not have published it again and again and again if we would not. If it wouldn't be seen as very important. But I want to tell you very honestly, you have said, how can we do this very intensely? You cannot force it. This is very, please don't force anything in this realm of remembering Krishna. What will happen is, you will force it, and then after some time, because it's unnatural, then you will see it as a burden, and you will give it up. So, these things are coming naturally when you are purifying your mind. If you want to enter this, you should think of purification of your life. That means, of course, the chanting, but then also in Sarajevo, when you live in Sarajevo, you must see that your lifestyle is very Krishna conscious. The people with whom you associate, the things which you do throughout the day. I know you are working, you know, as a consultant, so you have to see how you do your consulting work in a way which, you know, how you behave at your working place, that you're not influenced in a negative way. That's possible. It's actually when one talks, you know, it's very easily possible. Also, you have very nice work. You don't have to associate with totally groovy people, and so on. And may also be interested in philosophy and so on, or where you can be at least yourself and so on. But see, it's a, you can't force it. Even back gymnastics should not be forced. I've learned yesterday. Because then you will not do them in the end, and you will harm yourself even. You must do it in the right way, in the natural way. Even back gymnastics, what to speak of. These higher spiritual subjects. Okay, so we will end here our little morning program. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gol Premanandi hari Gol.